So yesterday was Anzac Day. Anzac Day is a day we are reminded of war, of nation fighting against nation, and of those who have given up their lives to protect their homes, their loved ones, their countries. In our present moment, we are fighting once again, but this time we are fighting a common enemy, an enemy that strikes down people regardless of belief, ethnicity, culture, or country. As we've hidden away for our own and others' protection, we have seen leaders from all around the world emerge with very different approaches as to how to beat this one common enemy. So I thought today would be a good day to have a look at the type of people God chooses to lead others. At the start of our scripture, we see King Eglon, who the Bible describes as a very fat man. He is the epitome of overindulgence. He sits back in his upper room and he is waited on hand and foot by everybody. He has held all the power over the Israelites for 12 years now. And with all the tributes they bring to him, he is ensured that he will be able to continue to overindulge in all the finest of foods. Some of these tributes would have normally been offered to the Israelite God. But he has defeated the Israelite God, and he has defeated the Israelite God's people. So surely now he is the God of the Israelites. Because after all, he is the one that holds all the wealth and all the power. But what of God's people? What of the Israelites? Once again, they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And once again, God had allowed another nation to rule over them. They again call out to God, asking him for deliverance. And God provides them with a deliverer. He provides them with Ehud. But Ehud is a very strange choice. You see, Ehud has an imperfection, a really bad imperfection that makes him completely abnormal, completely different and strange to others. He is left-handed. This, of course, is something that doesn't even rate in today's standards. We wouldn't even look twice at a left-handed person and think they were abnormal. But in Ehud's day, this was very weird. This made you stand out as strange, different, abnormal. And it was an imperfection that had plagued his particular tribe. So why then would God pick him to be the deliverer of his people? Why would God want this strange, considered abnormal, imperfect person to act as a deliverer for a perfect God? I've been in children's ministry now for many years, and I've seen many, many children that are also considered strange, different, unusual, not normal by today's standards. They are often given all sorts of different labels: ADD, ADHD, autistic, and I could go on. I have seen parents really, really upset and sometimes ashamed of their own children, because they stand out as different. It seems that nobody wants their children to stand out as being different, unless, of course, it's because they're somehow better than other children. They may be the sports star. They may be better than every other child at academics. They may be specially talented in artistic or musical ways. These are great reasons for your children to stand out. But very few parents ever want their children to stand out because they're different, because they're seen as not normal, as maybe a bit strange. I have a friend who has an autistic son, and he stood out as a child. He didn't communicate well with other adults or with his peers. He would cause scenes and at times come out in high-pitched squealing, usually precisely when his parents wouldn't want him to. He used to come to all our church programs. And in particular, he used to come to our holiday programs that we would run during the school holidays for the kids. I used to worry about him because he used to sit off to one side and he used to be all by himself. He never seemed to be participating or joining in with his peers, and I would get really worried as to whether he actually even really wanted to be there. On top of this, I knew in myself I was no expert when it came to autism, and neither were those people that chose to volunteer to help out with the program. Anyway, when I used to talk to his mother afterwards, she would tell me something completely different. She would tell me that each lot of holidays, he would be so excited to come and see us. He would be up and dressed before his brother. He would have eaten his breakfast and be hurrying the family to come along to our program. He was just so excited to be there, even though this is not what I really saw. So I don't quite remember how it happened, but one day we were talking about how do we join the children in with our church services a little bit more. And we were having this discussion and his mum was there. And she started telling me that he wanted to tell his testimony in the front of our church. Although I had no idea how this was going to work, I was really excited that this child who could barely speak was keen enough to get up in front of our whole church and tell them his testimony and why he loved God. The day came, you could have heard a pin drop as the church realized who it was getting up to speak in front of them. With his mum by his side, he got up and told everyone his testimony and how much he loved God. I was so proud of him, and I was so proud of his mum. He made such an impact with his short but yet perfect testimony. It was a moment in time that will last in my memory forever. I felt so privileged to witness God communicate his love through this child who could barely speak. However, after the service was over, I had another parent come up to me. I had innocently thought he was coming up to say what an awesome job my friend's son had done. But no, he was coming up to confront me. Why had you allowed this child to speak? Why was it not my child? My child can speak so much better than that child. Why was she not given the chance instead of this boy? He had missed the point. It wasn't about who was the best speaker. It was about whom God had prompted to speak and whom God had wanted to speak through. God had picked the least likely person in our entire church to speak through, to show others his knowledge and his love. God had chosen this imperfect child to bring glory to God. And this is what we find in Ehud's story. God had chosen someone others saw as imperfect, but yet he was exactly who God intended him to be. It was exactly because of this imperfection that Ehud had that he was able to do what nobody else was able to do. You see, King Eglon's soldiers would have been searching for weapons as he came in the door, but they wouldn't have been searching the right thigh. They would have been searching the left thigh because that's where a right-handed person would have a weapon. No way would they even suspect someone would be dumb enough to send in an imperfect person who is left-handed to get the job done. Another thing we notice about Ehud is he is right there, ready and willing. He takes part in God's plan without any hesitation. God had chosen him, and with God by his side, he knew he was capable. He didn't let other people's thoughts or perceptions hinder what God thought about him. He listened to God and listened to what God knew of him. In God, he found his true identity and his purpose. With God on his side, no one could stand against him. As it says in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Ehud certainly understood this, even if nobody else did. This was also true of my friend's autistic son. He knew that he was loved and precious to God. He had been communicating with God, even though the rest of us had no idea he knew anything about God at all. Her son understood who he was in God, and he knew just how to get everyone's attention so that he could pass on that knowledge and love of God. It was actually the rest of us, those who are considered reasonably normal, that were in error. We had, like those soldiers of Eglon's, totally misread the situation. We were looking for our normal. We had applied our own understanding to my friend's situation. Just as Eglon's soldiers were caught looking to the wrong thigh, we were looking to the wrong normal. We were looking to our own understanding. In the meantime, he had completely slipped our radar, with God concealed in his heart, in a way that none of us either saw nor understood. King Eglon, like us, had a problem of underestimating others. He had mistakenly believed that he was in charge, but God was always in charge. God had allowed him to rule over the Israelites, but only long enough for the Israelites to realize their error and to realize that they need him and couldn't live without him. Ehud, however, knew that with God, all things are possible. Even using this flawed character like himself. We can see the amount of confidence Ehud had in God when he called to his fellow Israelites to come and join him in God's plan. Some scholars suggest that because the Israelites had given so many tributes to King Eglon, that they didn't have enough food for themselves. This made them the weaker side when it came to that final battle. They would have been weakened from hunger. The significantly weaker force. But in joining with God in his plan, they were working in God's strength, not their own. They were able to conquer the stronger, more vigorous Moabite soldiers, regaining control over the land and living in peace for the next 80 years. God can see what others see in us as weakness and imperfections, he can take and use for his glory. God can use the weaknesses and imperfections we see in ourselves and use it for his glory. This is why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12 that he delights in his weaknesses. Because God says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul tells us he boasts in his weaknesses. Because in that, he is made strong in God. When others looked at Ehud, they saw weakness, but in his story, we only find strength. We find strength in the ability to look past what others thought of him and to believe what God told him. We also see strength in his ability to see his own position in God's plan. But where does that kind of strength come from? And can we find it too? In Psalms 121, 1 to 2, it says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God says in Isaiah 55, verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. In Ehud's story, God works through a man others saw as imperfect, a man that others never would have expected. And hundreds of years later, God would work through another man that nobody would see coming. That man was Jesus, God incarnate. Others saw him as weak as he made his way willingly to the cross. But God, as always, had the upper hand. And it was through Christ's willingness to make this great sacrifice on the cross that meant humankind was delivered once and for all. All God asks of us in return is for us to believe in that sacrifice, admit our need for his help, and to choose to unite with him. Then we too, like Ehud and like Paul, will know what it is to have God's strength and power in our own weaknesses. Perhaps God will even start to show us where we can be more open to seeing him work in those around us, in those that we may perceive as not normal and imperfect. Thank you, Lord, that in you we can find hope for all.